5. Entente cordiale. Jen.
"This is gift," said Marius later that afternoon. He spat a wad of tobacco into a Coke can on the kitchen table, leaving juicy brown flecks on his teeth. He had been a chain smoker until he realized the smoke was bad for his electronics. Now he was a chain chewer. He stuffed in another wad.
Jun and Marius had never met in person before. Jun hadn't known about the smell of tobacco that had seeped into the walls of Marius's living space, or that he lived across a floor of what had been an open-plan office, with wiry tufted carpets and graying window blinds. His bedroom was a corner office with a huge bed, where, when they arrived back, his girlfriend Sarit would be naked, her curved ass only half hidden by the blankets, awaking feelings in Jun that had been dormant since she froze someone to death. She hadn't known that Marius's place was filled from floor to ceiling in every room but the bathroom, with racks of electronic components and server units, or that the fridge had a vigorous furry mold coating its interior back wall.
"When I fought mold, it fought back. Spores growing on my food, outside fridge, black pieces everywhere. When I surrender, it stays in own territory. Now we live in harmony, entente cordiale."
Marius laughed and took another swig of Coke. Unlike Chun, he seemed to have no trouble keeping track of which cans were filled with Coke and which with tobacco and spit. Marius was, in no particular order, a hacker of some reputation, a visiting professor at Berkeley and Carnegie Mellon, an absolute asshole, and probably Jun's closest friend. They'd known each other for the best part of a decade. They were part of the Name the Day Technology Board, NTD/Tech, which was dedicated to using technology to prepare to survive the coming collapse of civilization. Although Marius's apocalypse preparation mostly consisted of gleeful acceptance of the inevitability of suffering, decay, despair, and eventual painful death. He was a legend on the board for the sheer range of his expertise in both technology and signs that humanity was on the verge of wiping itself out. Their friendship had begun with arguments and humiliation. Jun was fairly well known on NTD/Tech. There was a sub-forum where her videos were dissected, sometimes praised, but mostly mocked. For a while, every time Jun made a video with any computing software or hardware advice, Marius wrote a long post explaining why her take was fucking amateur caca. They'd argued. They'd called each other arrogant shitheads. They'd picked holes in each other's points of view until suddenly, Jun realized that the wrestling had become a hug. When Marius had trouble getting his Israeli girlfriend into Malaysia, Jun knew how to help. When some piece of technology smelled like bullshit, Marius was Jun's first call. Marius didn't trust or like most people, so he had a lot of unused loyalty and kindness to give the few he could be bothered with. At the kitchen table, Marius wired Jun's phone up to a Romanian children's toy computer keyboard, a set of motherboards sealed in plastic, and a screen from a smart washing machine. His hands were dirty, but his equipment was clean. He worked quickly, humming to himself and occasionally offering gnomic thoughts like,
"This is gift," Jun said.
"The phone, or what, like, the whole situation?"
"Someone saved your life and want nothing back. That's gift. She said she gave you gift."
He cracked open the back of Jun's phone so expertly he might have been shucking an oyster, removed component parts, and slotted them gently into his cobbled-together homebrew. It was like watching Jun's grandmother deal with every last grain of rice in the bowl, delicate and precise. The washing machine screen pinged gently and brought up a rinse cycle symbol.
"Is that something?" said Jun. "Start of something," Marius smiled. "Find out Sleeping Beauty's secrets."
He stroked the top of Jun's phone with one index finger.
"Without wake her up. First, file lists. Then, file contents."
Marius cracked open a can of creamed corn and scooped it into his mouth using vanilla ice cream wafers with apparent enjoyment.
You want? Chun shook her head. In the tunnels. She ask you for something, assassin lady? She say, give me this or I kill you, or I want to kill you because you did this?
Didn't say anything to me. I'm pretty sure she was an Enochite.
They don't exist no more.
Yeah, so they definitely exist enough to harass me online, okay? She had the key thing on her finger, too. Marius shook his head.
These don't happen. Harass online is easy. Teenage boys sit in basement in Russia, write insults. No one can find him. Easy, safe. Government hate you. That turns into crazy person stab writer on stage. Religion hate you, yes, maybe.
They are a religion? A newish religion. That's what they are. I think they've been growing online in private groups for a while.
Religious wars against you? You didn't do nothing.
Tell that to that lady's gun. Marius chewed his corn thoughtfully. On one of the shelves next to the rows of motherboards were three plastic-wrapped pellets of tinned, creamed corn.
Maybe. Maybe you unluckiest person in the world. Maybe this is something else. You don't got her phone, ID?
She was a fucking chunk of poison salt ice. Marius gave several very quick nods of the head, scratching his beard like a student had given him an adequate and even intriguing answer to a computational problem.
You have two women. One want to kill you, don't say why. One want to save your life, don't say why. Like fucking fairy story. I think.
And he paused so long that Jun thought he had potentially fallen asleep with his eyes open.
I think you're not in so much danger.
Oh, yeah? Let me know how you feel about that after someone's tried to shoot you in the head. Marius picked a piece of corn out of his teeth with a dirty thumbnail.
The Enochites, not so good they find you in Bucharest today, right? Don't find you in Madrid. Don't find you on plane. They are medium good. Find you when you're not trying to hide. Don't find you when you're hiding. Your schedule was on your fucking website. You not hard to find. Now you hard to find. No trouble.
But she tracked me. Through the tunnels. Found me in the bin full of Valentine foxes. They had some kind of tracker on me.
Maybe, said Marius. Maybe you made more noise than you thought. Moved in bin, foxes moved. Maybe she saw you. Maybe put something on you at some event. Dot on clothing, tracer inside pocket. How many events you speak at every month? 10? How often you throw out clothes after event? You never tried to make yourself hard to track.
So what now? I have to do this forever? Marius nodded.
Spend time making yourself invisible. Then, be more careful than before. Forever.
Thanks for the positivity, Marius laughed.
You want positivity? You go America, white teeth, big smiles. You want realism? You come former Soviet bloc, okay?
The rinse cycle symbol turned over twice. A list of files scrolled on the right side of the screen.
Said Marius. You had malware. Don't know what yet.
He wrinkled his nose.
I can reconstruct, maybe. If it works, might take 2-3 months. Have to try many different build models.
For now, all Marius could see was the date and time the malware had entered the system. 3:27 a.m., on the last night Jun had slept in Martha's suite.
You joined her Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi was compromised. There was special Wi-Fi for you, yes, not hotel. Not normal, said Marius,
and it was barely a question. Jun nodded.
Spiked, Marius said sorrowfully. Middle of night, uploads and restarts. You never know what happened.
She said she gave me a gift, but she didn't tell me what it was.
And now she don't talk to you?
I keep sending her messages, but she doesn't reply.
Did you do bad fuck with her?
I did exceptionally good fuck with her, thank you very much. Several times.
Then why she don't tell you? Don't give you software normally. This.
Marius gestured with a screwdriver at the phone. The drum clean cycle.
This secret spy bullshit is not normal.
It felt a long time now since Jun had last seen Martha. She'd thought she'd read the signs right, thought something real was happening. At least something kind, something sincere in the moment. She loved Marius, and he loved her. But of course, people who tend to paranoia, for good reasons, for reasonable reasons, do sometimes choose friends who are a bit paranoid, too.
"Have you thought?" said Marius. "Your famous survival expert. Can get out of anything. Maybe she using you? To test her software?"